Did you inherit $1 million from your grandparent, or are you about to become wealthy from someone else's hard work? If you say yes to these questions, this show is not for you. You, the hardworking, committed, and ambitious professional who have a 9-to-5 corporate job or a 12-hour shift worker keeping the assembly line running. Perhaps you run your gig as a freelancer, or maybe you run a small business. You are in the right place. Welcome to the Career Evangelist Podcast, where you get your weekly tips, ideas, strategies, and inspiration to find purpose in what you do so you can build a career you are passionate about and live a fulfilled life. Here is your host, Vola Alabi.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Career Evangelist Podcast. I'm excited today because we have an awesome guest, Donna Mikalo, an expert in the field of career development with over a decade of experience and a robust background in career coaching and with international perspective. Donna brings a fresh and dynamic approach to guiding individuals towards their dream career. So if you are looking to upskill your career, you are going to want to stick with us today. I'm pumped to have Donna with us, and I'm excited to explore the latest insights and strategies for mastering the job search process and achieving the career fulfillment. Without further ado, I welcome my guest, our guest, Donna.
Hey, thank you so much. Hi, I'm so pleased to be here today with you.
I'm excited. Thank you very much for honoring us and for being on the show with us today. So can you go ahead and introduce yourself to my listeners so that they can know who you are?
Absolutely. And thank you for the opportunity. So I am a certified career services provider and also a global career development facilitator and founder of my own career consulting company, Clarivia Consulting. I bring my education with me, which is an MBA. And as you mentioned, an international perspective. I've lived in 4 countries during my lifetime at this point. Maybe it'll be more. We never know. But what I love to do is bring my background of what I know to be best practices for not just career coaching, but also for the job market and what it means to be out there looking for a job, and also what it means to be part of the business world and how to keep growing professionally as you are in your career. I love to work one-on-one with clients, and I also work with different organizations to provide workshops and group coaching. Oh. So that's a little bit about me.
No, that's awesome, Donna. I'm passionate about, you know, connecting people with their next role. And whenever I have guests like you that have expertise in that domain, I'm excited because I awesome. Know we are helping people. You mentioned the job market. So what's the outlook out there today? I know a couple of organizations are announcing layoff. I don't know if it's the employee market or employer market. So what's the outlook right now?
Something that I'm going to start with, that whenever we start talking about the job market, employability, different industries, what the economy is doing, is I always get in trouble for this, but I always say, you can be the type of person who is going to find a job in any economy, mm-hmm. or you can choose to be the type of person who won't find a job in any economy. So yes, the economy is important. Different industry ups and downs are important. Making sure you know about mass layoffs and all of that, like we heard about yesterday or the last couple of days, a couple other high-tech companies had more layoffs. Right. That is important. You need to know what's going on. But you have the power to take charge of your own career path. So there are people who do very well in a down economy finding a job. Okay. They're determined. It's not easy. They get help. they find resources, they work really hard, and they make it happen. And then there's people who you'd think in an up economy, it'd be easy to get a dream job or whatever job they want. If they're not putting in the work, it's not going to come for them.
That's right.
So I always like to start that way. And some people really like that reaction and some people don't. But that is my take on it. And it's what I've seen over my 15 plus years of practice. That said, it looks like even though we have been hearing about these tech layoffs, really the high-tech industry still is looking pretty good in terms of employment outlook. We're seeing demand in renewable energy. So environmental, climate, windmills, that type of stuff. We're seeing a demand in AI and machine learning that is huge. And so people on those tech sides, hopefully you are that person who will find a job in that economy. Mm-hmm. Also in biotech and healthcare. And so these are some industries where there's still an influx of opportunity and there are adjacent industries that are supporting this. So for example, the technical remote working industry and those types of companies, they're the companies that support all these tech workers who are working remotely, right? So all these companies hire people from all over the world, as we talked about international. We need very qualified organizations to help us actually employ these people, right? And make it work. Right. So those are places I'm seeing that are looking pretty up right now.
Oh, thank you very much for the details. And it's almost impossible to talk about the job market without mentioning AI these days.
Yes.
And I'm glad that you mentioned that. Now, when we think about the job search process, I know we said process, and with process, I believe there must be steps. So for a candidate out there that is looking to find their next role, what are some steps that you would recommend to them?
Okay, so first of all, I'm going to start back at the beginning. The first step is really understanding what your goal is, right? What you're actually going to be looking for. One of my very favorite bands is U2, right? I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Well, you can't find it if you don't know what it is.
That's right.
So when I work with my clients, some people do have the luxury to take a little bit of time and really reassess and reevaluate, do some soul searching, do some discovery and figure out, do I want to stay in my typical industries? Are there other passions that I want to pursue as a career? So the very first step is to identify areas so that you know what you're looking for and then you can find it. Mm-hmm. So that's step number one. Some ways to do that. First of all, using your current network. Mm-hmm. So at some point in a person's professional life, they are so well connected.
Right.
I mean, we can think back to people we went to university with or grad school, former colleagues who we might still keep in touch with, all of our LinkedIn connections.
Right.
So our network is a huge support and huge resource, right? Obviously, we kind of mentioned it's important to know what the economy is doing, what industry news are. Mm-hmm. So to be able to kind of do your industry research, for some people, their values might lead them to, I am going to be aiming for industries that have a really good employment outlook, that might have higher pay, right? They might be going, okay, I think I could switch over to AI right now, machine learning, right?
Right.
So to kind of know what you're dealing with, that is absolutely step one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. No, that's good. Now, when we think about the process, I'm sure there are some people also having certain misconception about the job search process. Can you share with us some of those misconceptions that you've heard from people?
I really appreciate this question because I think we make a lot of assumptions in our own brain. And how would we know that they're wrong if someone maybe who's gone through it hasn't told us? But a lot of times we don't even verbalize stuff. So to get this misconception idea, I love that. So number one is that people think they have to go through their job search alone. It's not a fun thing if you're laid off, or it's not a fun thing if you relocate and you're like really trying to find a job. And I think we tend in this social media world, we tend to only want to put the happy, shiny, fun stuff out there. Mm-hmm. But it's very important to know that you have resources. And usually those are people yes. who are able to help you, right? Yes, absolutely. And so to try to go at something alone, you don't know what you don't know. Mm-hmm. This includes certain job search strategies, right? Certain help that you might get from a career coach or from someone who knows you well, someone who might be working in human resources or a certain industry so you can connect. But people love you, right? You have family members or you have friends or you have former colleagues that really want to help. Right. So a part of not going at it alone is letting your network know. And I say this in kind of a formal network way, but really the people who care about you know. Mm-hmm. They want to know how you're doing and what you're aiming for and how they can help you. Yeah. So if you don't say, hey, did you know that I'm looking at changing careers or changing jobs, or, you know, I was part of that layoff that you heard at this company. If you ever happen to hear about these types of jobs, or if you ever have an in at this company, please just let me know. That'd be super helpful. I'm sure you and I, in our roles, we get to help people all the time, and yeah. it feels so good.
That's right.
So it's not like you're asking a favor from someone that's mm-hmm. super cumbersome.
Right.
If they can help you, they will, and then they'll feel great too. Mm-hmm. So actually, that is my number one thing. People think that they have to go out at this alone, and they do not. In fact, it's the opposite. You want your tribe around you to really support you.
No, that's very good. Your tribe. You've
mentioned
a lot about networking,
yes.
letting people know. Your friends, your family, those that you attended universities with. Mm-hmm. So we have to let them know. Now, outside of this immediate people, maybe you can call them your first connection, the people you mm-hmm. interact with regularly. I know that networking does not end there. There are us other people too that we have second degree of connection with. What are some effective networking tips that we can use to connect and let those people know that, A, we are in the market and we are looking for our next role?
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that you stress how important networking is. There's different numbers floating out there, but I think we pretty much agree on about 80% of the jobs are attained through this job seekers network.
Yeah.
So that could mean that, you know, a connection on LinkedIn posted a job and they found it. Or it could mean that they use their university's platform and they found a different alumni who helped them get into a role.
Yeah.
It could mean that they actually reached out to the hiring manager and they made that personal connection for a job they were applying to.
Right.
But those are all different types of networking, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's this concept called weak ties. So it's the idea of a second or third connection.
Okay.
And I first found out about this concept a long time ago from an author and psychologist named Meg Jay. Uh-huh. I don't know if you've heard of her, but I'm always raving about her. But it's this idea that weak ties are actually your strongest network. So your second or third connections
right.
are going to be the ones that make that biggest impact in your strides for a career change or for a new job. And that's because as important it is to have your tribe surrounding you and supporting you.
Right.
Most people live in a bubble, right? We went to university probably with like-minded people because
right.
that's why we all chose it.
Uh-huh.
When with our friends and family, we kind of grew up together mm-hmm. or we chose our friends based on similarities, which is amazing.
Right.
However, if you're trying to expand your network and maybe get into some companies or learn some things about different industries that you don't know very well, chances are it's going to be those weak ties or those second or third connections because they don't have quite as much in common. You need to really push yourself to expand. So one of the best things to do as you're going through a job search is whenever you find a job you are interested in, try to find the hiring manager or someone on that team to reach out to. This would be considered a weak tie or a second, third, or maybe not even a connection that LinkedIn can track, right? But obviously, when you're looking on LinkedIn for a job, oftentimes the recruiters will have their information there. That is an invitation for the job seeker to reach out and to try to establish an actual person-to-person relationship mm-hmm. and not just paper-to-paper relationship. Yeah. There's a lot of other online ways that you can find people who would be part of that team, or maybe a director or someone hiring or human resource, which is through LinkedIn, maybe the company's own website. Maybe you're able to find them on Twitter or X. But if you're able to reach out via online sources, that is probably the easiest way. Mm. And the easiest catalyst to think about that is, anytime I see a job that's really cool, I'm going to try to connect with somebody at that company yeah. or hiring for that job.
I like
so
that.
So an easy way to give yourself a strategy.
Mm. Yeah, that's very good, Donna. Thank you very much for sharing that. We've been talking about process. I want to bring in some tools that we need, to land our next role. And one of those tools, maybe one of the very, very important one, is the resume. I want to hear from you. What are some effective ways to craft a resume that will make a job seeker stand out?
Awesome. So first, I'm going to get into some of the detail nitty-gritties that might not seem exciting, but without these, the important stuff can't come through. So number one, you want to make sure that it's applicant tracking system compliant. Mm-hmm. So some people have beautiful resumes and like they're the graphic designers and the artists, or, right? These resumes are so pretty. You want to put them in a frame and hang them on the wall. That unfortunately is not going to get you through a digital screening process because a resume has to have certain
keywords.
Certain formats that will be conducive to a non-human's eyes who are just scanning for certain things. So without being able to go through the applicant tracking system or ATS to get to a human's eyes, none of the other stuff matters.
Yeah.
Even if hopefully you are applying to a job where you already have an in and you can send your resume to your contact there, you still got to go through the main form, right? Mm-hmm. So applicant tracking system. So that's number one. A lot of the times when I work with my clients, people want beautiful resumes, and you can make a beautiful resume that's ATS compliant. Absolutely. Now, going back to resume strategies, is you have got to be able to tailor each resume to each job. Mm. And to do this, I'm sure a lot of listeners know, you have to know what the job is asking for, right? So it's not just as easy as having a couple blanket master resumes and saying, oh, here's a job. This one looks like it'll do for it. Here's a job. Oh, this other resume number two looks like it. No, you really, part of the applicant tracking system and part of the human eyes is every organization mm-hmm. and every job category at those organizations, they're different. And so there might be different keywords, right? Someone might have the word teamwork or working together, when really they're looking for the word collaborative. Mm-hmm. Now that seems so minute, but those are the types of things you have to know from your job search, from the job posting, from understanding the company through website or through the network connections you have that work there, so that you can really tailor your resume. And I know that sounds so tedious, but it is so important. And that's what I work on a lot. Another very important piece, and this goes along with knowing what the reader, right, what the hiring manager is looking for, is you've got to make impactful bullet points for your job experiences. And to make an impactful bullet point, it has a couple different factors. You need really strong action verbs that you can claim. You don't want to sound passive. You want to say, hey, I did this, or I'm doing this. This is me. It's not boasting if you can prove why it was important or you can show how you did it, right? Yeah. You want to show how you did that action verb, because I used to do lots of presentations, and my son is now 11 years old, but when he was 2, 3, and 4 years old, and I helped with resumes with people and I did presentations, I said, you know, if my son were creating a resume, he could put on it, answered phones, put it on, he could put on it, wash dishes. Uh-huh. Now, you think you would put answered phones on and think, oh, that is the same level as a two-year-old. No, you need to show how you effectively did this and manage different phone systems and were cordial and happy customer service and you were supportive and you knew resources and, right? And so you really need to give a how you did this, because ultimately, if they didn't care about a person and how they were going to do the job and how they were going to act, they'd probably be hiring some AI to do it anyway, right?
Yeah.
So that's important. The other piece of a full bullet point is you really want to be able to show context within either numbers or accomplishments. So sometimes we have wonderful accomplishments and people say, oh, but I don't have a number for that. It's okay to use qualitative accomplishments, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe you gave a presentation and you got a standing round of applause. That is a great accomplishment. That gives context to what you can do.
Yeah, so good. I like that idea about qualitative accomplishment, because I've always been thinking about quantitative accomplishment. So thank you very much for, you know, adding that for us to know. Now, I know you have your career services that you use to support job seekers. What are some things that you do? I heard you say, oh, resume, maybe creating resume, that maybe that's one of them. What are the other ways that you use to support job seekers?
Absolutely. And so I'm a certified career coach. I have 15 plus years working in the realm of career development. And so depending on one-on-one coaching, right, an individual, we will start from wherever their starting point is. Mm-hmm. For some individuals, it's really starting that background, like I mentioned before, that career discovery. What do I actually want to be doing? And is this something I can attain? And how might I attain that? So some of it is really the career exploration, sorting through values, sorting through different industries and what that might mean. So it's kind of a little bit of soul searching, right? To find what your calling might be or different callings. Most people have more than one thing that they're interested in, right?
Absolutely.
So we'll start with that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I just jump in right into the job search. So I work with resumes, cover letters, interviewing, elevator pitches, other types of professional development. And then I have the pleasure of also getting to work with different organizations. Mm-hmm. And I come in as a career coach. So I may help with any of or all of the things I mentioned, but I do a lot of workshops as well. And this could be anything from effective interviewing or using LinkedIn, right? All the way up to things like imposter syndrome, or how to show active listening at an interview. It could be anywhere through that professional development.
Oh, that's good.
It's very exciting.
Donna, can you share maybe one or two success stories or case studies from your experience as a career coach that will show us that job search strategies in
action? Yeah, absolutely. So, I can't say too much about different clients because of confidentiality. Yeah. I can say that I've had numerous clients, and I'm thinking now about one in particular who came to me after being laid off of a role that this client didn't even like. Right? And this client was very discouraged because after meeting with this person a couple times, what came out was that role that the person had was actually different than what had been advertised on the job description. Mm-hmm. And it was not actually conducive to what that person's passions and talents were. Right. So when something like that is so disjointed, what happens when you get laid off or asked to leave? You feel like there's something wrong with you and you are incapable. And how can you ever find a job, right, that's going to hire you? And how can you ever do it? So after a couple meetings, we didn't even know that that was going to be an issue or a case until that came through. At the same time, we went through that entire gamut of what are my values? What are my passions? And kind of thinking back through previous jobs, university experience. And what you do, what we did, is you really find patterns. And sometimes it's really hard to see the patterns. It's like the what we say, it's hard to see the forest through, or the right, the forest through the trees, right? So in one context, someone could be doing a number of different activities or have a number of different responsibilities. It's hard to pull out what the actual activity, responsibility, skill is when you think of, oh, but it was in this big picture. So we really worked on finding those common threads among all these different job experiences, classes this person enjoyed, narrowed it down to three or four different job categories. Actually, we were working with a number of options, and then we did the entire gamut of the job search, right? And resume iteration after resume iteration and back and forth. This person was so determined. And I didn't even, a lot of the times as a career coach, you're helping someone take responsibility and helping them be proactive. And you're that support and that cheerleader. This person didn't need it. This person was like, I am going to do this.
That's someone that is motivated.
But that's
right.
What I would hope that working, you know, any career coach could work with a client to the point where the client is, I am excited and I feel like I can do this, right? So ultimately this person got a job and has been promoted a couple times since, within a couple months.
Wow, that's awesome.
That is exactly why we do what we do, right? Their success is amazing as we see them follow through with it.
No, that's a good story. Thank you for sharing that. Looking for a job can be frustrating sometimes. Being in a job that we don't like can be discouraging. Now, Donna, what advice do you have for candidates who may be struggling with rejection or lacking responses, and maybe they are not making progress in their job search endeavor?
Oh, this is so important. Thank you for asking this question. I have a lot of opinions on it, but I'll try to keep them fairly contained. So number one, it's easy for you and I to talk about this if we're not in that position.
Yeah.
And it might, you know, if somebody's in it, it's easy to say, but you don't know what it really feels like. And that's correct. I don't know what it feels like for each individual person. Mm-hmm. What I can say, having gone through it in the past and having worked with a lot of people, is do your best to stay objective. It is almost never a response to you personally. There's nothing wrong with you. It's that you don't, first of all, it might just not be a fit. Right? And that is where, especially working with a career coach or someone who is in employment services or HR, can really start determining, okay, what have you been applying to?
Right.
And is this even a fit? And where are the gaps? The other thing is, it's really important to take this viewpoint of, here's the job search process, right? Where am I typically getting stuck? Am I submitting resumes and they're getting rejected? That would be an indicator it's time to hire someone or ask for help on reviewing and revitalizing your resume, tailoring it more, understanding more, right? And so really diving into resume work, because you wouldn't know what other places you might get stuck until you get past that first place, right?
Right.
A lot of career coaches, we end up doing that a lot, right? Because there's so many resumes from so many people being tossed around to all these different jobs. It's easy if it's not a top resume, right? To be whittled out. So see where you're at in the process. There's other people I've worked with who have had amazing resumes, but they can't seem to pass. They say, I keep getting interviews and I'm always the top two or three candidate. I'm never the one they offer it to. Then we work on their interviewing and how to handle that.
Mm-hmm.
So something you've got to do, number one, it is not personal, most likely, most of the cases. And number two, figure out what is stopping you, the typical stopping point, and address that.
Okay. So good. Now, as we are wrapping it, Donna, I have some rapid fire questions
for you. Oh, okay. You're going to put me on the spot. Let's see how I do.
So, what's your favorite book that you've read recently?
Oh, my goodness. Okay. This is actually funny. This is not going to be very rapid. I'm sorry. I was just reorganizing books and bookcases, and we got new shelving up. So I just went through all of these really crazy books. Yeah. That's funny. Books that I really enjoy, that I read every night, I read a little bit every night, mm-hmm. are the Melody Beattie books, which is self-help life guru. She is amazing. Okay. You can read a little bit every night. There's one for each day, and that will help you in a lot of different ways in your life.
Oh, I'm going to have to check that out because
please,
I love reading.
Please find her. Yeah, she's written a lot of books. She has amazing experience.
Okay, that's good. Morning person or night owl?
Oh, morning.
Morning, good.
Absolutely, yes.
dogs or cats?
Cats.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely cats.
Best piece of career advice you've ever received?
Oh, my goodness. This wasn't actually career advice. It was advice from my mom that I apply to careers.
Okay, I like that.
Totally different context. I was like a teenager when she said this, or younger. She said, just do the hard thing.
Do the hard thing.
Just do it. So she was saying, just tackle what's hard. It's not great. If it's not easy, that's okay. You still have got to do it. Okay. So that could be in your job search, an introvert reaching out to someone for a networking connection,
that's
right? That can be hard. Yeah. You can be at work where you are like, should I ask to take on this extra project? It'd be great, but can I do it? Just do the hard thing. Okay. You will appreciate it later.
Okay. Those are things that get us out of our comfort zone.
Yes.
And growth happens outside the comfort zone. I'll put it that way. So thank you very much.
Otherwise, you don't grow.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. That's right.
You're stuck feeling nice and happy, but you're not growing.
So finally, where can my listeners find you?
Oh, thank you so much. So they can find me on LinkedIn, Clara Via Consulting. They can also find me on my website. So all you have to do is search Clara Via Consulting and it should come up. But LinkedIn is the easiest way. And then from there, you can pop onto my website.
I will sure leave your links on the show notes.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much, Donna. I enjoyed this episode and I know my listeners, they will find it highly beneficial. Thank you.
Well, it was such a pleasure, and thank you for chatting with me.
All right, have a good one.
Recording stopped.
Oh, this is good. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's great to chat with you. You're wonderful at leading.
thank you. That's so kind of you.